Hey, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're continuing our series through the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be in verses 15 through 21 tonight. We're almost done, so it's going to be good. Next week, we're going to talk about marriage. So, actually, next week's a surprise. So y'all make sure y'all are here for next week. But then the week after, we're going to talk about marriage, and that's going to be really fun. Tonight, I want to talk to you guys about how to be wise. Okay, I want to talk about how you and I can be wise in this present world. How to be wise. That's what I want to talk to you guys about. Wisdom. How can I practically walk in wisdom? And I'm not talking, before I begin, I want to preface, I'm not talking about the wisdom of the world. I'm not talking about like Andrew Tate and the crap that they talk about on TikTok and Instagram. I'm not talking about how you can be financially successful. I'm not talking about how you can get a good, have a good relationship. I'm not talking about how you can have a good body and go to the gym. I'm not talking about the wisdom of the world. I'm talking about, honestly, the most important wisdom, and it's one of the most important decisions of our life is how can I be wise in the eyes of the Lord? How can I walk in the wisdom of the Lord? And tonight's going to be so simple, super duper simple for you guys. You know, one of the things I've noticed over the past couple years as I've done student ministry and just ministry in general is that people, so you guys, me, people, we tend to focus on the wrong things. I'll just be completely honest. We prioritize the wrong things. And honestly, we focus on things that don't matter. Like the things of the world that I just, will be honest, do not matter. This is, for example, I want to show you what the Apostle John says before we jump into Ephesians. I want to show you what the Apostle John says in 1 John 2:16-17. He says, for everything in the world, so everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world, what does he say? And the world will endure forever. No, he says, and the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does what? The one who does the will of God remains forever. So tonight, I want to practically talk about how you can do the will of God upon your life. I want to talk about what God's will is for your life and how you and I can be wise in his eyes, not looking to be wise in the eyes of the world, because everything in the world is passing away. But the only thing, as John says in verse 17, the only thing that remains is doing the will of God. I have a question for you, and I'm going to pop off with a series of questions. So don't get lost in this. Please listen. And I want you to actually evaluate your own life. So when I ask you a question, I want you to think, all right, Lillianne, is this about my life? Or Blaine, is this about my life? When I ask you a question. So think of that as I ask these questions. But how many of you woke up today and started thinking about how you could do the will of God? Like, and don't answer this. Don't raise your hand. Don't answer this. How many of you woke up today and said, hey, how can I live for God today? Or did you wake up saying, how can I live for myself? I want to list a couple more of these questions. How many of you woke up and instantly started scrolling on your phone? How many of you woke up and instantly started texting that boyfriend or girlfriend that will dump you in 3 weeks? Literally happens all the time. How many of you instantly woke up and started putting makeup on, trying to fix yourself up in hopes that you would make yourself look good for everybody? How many of you woke up and said, hey, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to wake up early. I'm going to go to the gym in pursuit of this perfect body? How many of you, your feet hit the ground and you instantly start thinking about that school assignment or that extracurricular activity you got after school? Now that I've asked you those questions, I want to ask you these questions. And once again, I want you to honestly evaluate where you are at. Every single one of you, where are you at? How many of you woke up and spent time with your Father in prayer or in his word this morning? How many of you woke up and began praying for that person, that friend, that family member, that parent that you know is hurting and needs Jesus? How many of you woke up and just for once thought about something other than yourself? If I was a betting man, and I'm not a betting man, I don't bet, but if I was, I would probably say, I'd probably cast my lots on the side that a lot of us in here, we wake up thinking about ourselves, how we can do what's best for ourselves, and not a lot of us woke up saying, okay, how can I do the will of God today? How can I be wise in the eyes of the Lord? And for us, this is what Paul's going to show us tonight. He's literally going to show us very clearly, you and I are called to walk in the wisdom of God in the midst of the evil days that we are in. If you have your Bible, look at Ephesians 5, verse 15. Pay careful, this is imperative that you hear this. Pay careful attention then to how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. First point, if you're taking notes, pay attention to how you walk. Pay attention to how you walk. Literally, stop looking at your phone when you're crossing the street. Pay attention to how you walk. Paul's saying this because the days are evil. Let me ask you a question. How many of you in here would say, man, the days are evil? The world we live in now is evil. How many of you would actually say that? Or how many of you would say, I kind of like the days we're living in. I kind of like the world that we're living in. The things of this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of my possessions, I actually like that. Paul was telling the Ephesians thousands of years ago. He was telling them, guys, the days are evil. So you need to be careful with how you walk. You don't need to walk as the rest of the world being unwise. You need to walk wise. You need to walk in a wise manner. Are you able to recognize that the days are evil? He said it 2,000 years ago, and it's not changed. You don't have to look far to see the idolatry and the wickedness in this world. Man, I would pray that we in this room, First Baptist Church, last year, I'll pray that each of us, and I do pray this over you, that you would be different. That you'd be different from the world and that you wouldn't look like the world. If Paul was in 2025, this is how he would translate these verses. Pay attention to how you orient your day. Pay attention to how you structure your day. Make time in your day for the Lord. He would say, don't worry about the rest of the wickedness of this world. He would say, pay attention to how you walk. You don't need to be mindlessly scrolling for hours and hours. You need to make the most of the time that God has given you. Look, y'all think this is interesting. The other day, I was bored for funsies as I was riding. The other day, I was bored, and I looked up on Google. I said, what is the average screen time for a teenager in America? And does anybody want to take a guess, a stab? What do you think? Six. All right, throw it up on the board. 8 hours and 39 minutes! That's crazy. Can I be honest? Hear me. Come back in. If you're spending 8.5 hours on your phone every day, that is not making the most of the time the Lord has given you. Look, I want to break this down with you. All right. Everybody in here, think about your own life. Let's say you wake up at 7 and you go to bed at 9. Do you know what that means? That means you have a 14-hour day. 14-hour day. Let's say Monday through Friday. Do you know how, Monday through Friday, each of those days, you're going to have a 7-ish hour school day. That puts you getting home around 3 or 4. If you were to combine the time that you spent on your phone during school altogether, it'd probably be 2 or 3 hours. So that's going to knock 2 or 3 hours off the time. So now we're down to about 5.5 hours or 6.5 hours. Well, what else do you have after school? You probably have two-hour practice, 3-hour extracurricular activity. So that's putting you getting home around 5 or 6. And you know how much time that means you have left at that point? You have about 5 or 6 hours from 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, you have about 5 or 6 hours left of screen time. And you know what? I'm going to tell this to you in grace, but also truth. A lot of you probably hit that 8.5 hour mark every day on your phone. And so you know what that puts you at? That puts you at, most of you, going to bed at 11 after your last scroll session. That's not making the most of your time. That is not walking in a wise way. That's walking in an unwise way like the rest of the world. And that's what Paul's instructing us with. Make the most use of your time, Christian. Invest in the eternal things, Christian. Why don't you spend some time praying? Why don't you spend some time worshiping God in song? Why don't you spend some time having gospel conversations? Why don't you spend some time in the Word? We have to get past. Listen to me, every single one of you in this room, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to like the cameras back there or some random audience. I'm talking to you guys. We have to get past the phase where we're just mindlessly scrolling for hours. We have to get past that. God has called us to more than that. So you know what we do need to do, though? And this is point number two if you're taking notes. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled by God's Spirit. Look at verses 18 through 21. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. At the end of verse 18, when he says, be filled by the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, the imagery that carries is, does everybody know what a sailboat is? Raise your hand if you know what a sailboat is. Good stuff. Y'all are all genius. What does a sailboat need to be carried along the water? Sail. Sail and wind. Sail and wind. Do we all agree? Sail and wind. Great. The same exact thing the same exact imagery that being filled by the Spirit is saying is that same exact imagery. He's saying, as the wind carries the boat along the water, so should God's Spirit carry you along day to day. That's what being filled by the Spirit means. It means you're allowing His Holy Spirit, which He gives you when you accept Him, you're allowing Him, you're hearing His voice, and you're allowing Him to lead you. When He says to do something, you do it. When He says don't do something, you don't do it. When He says talk to this person, you talk to that person. And I'll be honest, if you've never experienced that little voice inside your life that's saying that, you're not a Christian. I don't care if you've gone to church. I don't even care if you've been baptized. If you do not hear a person, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, inside of you, telling you to do something, communicating to you, telling you to pray, telling you to get in the Word, telling you to worship, you do not know Jesus Christ. I don't care, cultural Christianity, South Georgia. Period. And what Paul is saying is, Christian, instead of living your life wasting all your time like the rest of the world, your life needs to be characterized by being filled by the Spirit. I forget who I heard this from, but I heard one pastor say like this. We all know what it means, or we all know what it looks like when a person's drunk, correct? We all know that. Yeah, we've seen videos. We know what that looks like. Well, how come we don't know what it looks like for somebody to be filled with the Spirit? And I'm not talking about the videos you see on Instagram or TikTok where people are flailing around at the altar, doing backflips over the pews, speaking in these unknown tongues, and nobody's interpreting anything. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about exactly what he says in verses 19, speaking to one another in psalms, speaking the Word to each other, making music with our heart to the Lord. Why do we know what it means for what it looks like for somebody to be drunk, but we don't know what it looks like for somebody to be filled by the Spirit? There's something that we're doing that's wrong. And Paul's calling us back to the wisdom of God and saying, if you and I want to be really wise, this is what we should do. We should be filled by the Spirit. This is the question we've been asking the whole time. How can I be wise? Can I give you that answer? Do you want to know how to be wise? Instead of waking up out of bed, letting your feet hit the ground, and you instantly begin running, trying to think about how you're going to go about your day, instead of letting your feet hit the ground, you need to roll out of bed and let your knees hit the ground. And you need to spend time with your Father in prayer, asking that His Spirit would fill you and lead you. That is ultimate wisdom. I don't care what, you know, is it Gordon Ramsay? Is he the financial guy? What's the financial guy? Dave Ramsey. That's awkward. I don't care what Dave Ramsey says. He has some good stuff. Me and my wife personally don't listen to it. Probably that's my fault, but he has some good stuff. I don't care what Dave Ramsey says. You know what the key to life is? It's not financial success. It's waking up every day and saying, God, Your Spirit, fill me today and lead my life. Lead me at work. Lead me at school. Lead me in everything that I need to do. That's the key to life. And if you and I can grab that, if you can grab that at your age of a high schooler or a middle schooler, I'm just telling you, you're going to be successful. Not in the eyes of this world, not Joel Osteen, but in your Father's eyes, you're going to be doing what He's called you to do. The results of the Holy Spirit filling us is exactly what it says in verse 19 through 21. We speak encouragement to each other. We speak the Word to each other. Like, let me ask you this question. How many of you are so filled with God's Word that you just speak it to each other? Like, you're just on the sideline, you're like, hey, as a deer panteth for the water, so my heart pants for the Lord. Like, how many of you are like that?
I love it.
I'm serious, though. How many of you are so filled with God's Word and His Spirit that that's what flows out of your life? On top of that, we worship the Lord in everything we do. I love the phrase it says, we give thanks always for everything. Always for everything we give thanks. There are commentators that say that one of the first evidences of a Spirit-filled person is the character of the words that come out of their mouth. What does the way that you talk, middle school boy, middle school girl, high school girl, what does the way that you talk say about the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? When there's no adults around, when you're in the locker room, what does the way you talk say about the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life? In a parallel passage in the book of Colossians, this is what Paul says. Throw up the scripture on the screen of Colossians. It's the same exact thing. He says, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Do you notice the difference between the Spirit-filled person that's walking in the wisdom of God and the person that's walking in the wisdom of the world? Do you notice the difference? One's always thankful for everything. One always has gratitude in their hearts. One has scripture on their mind. They're singing praise. They're letting His Word dwell in them richly. This is how we'll end, but look at verse 17. I want to go back to verse 17. It's very simple. Verse 17. So don't be foolish. What does he say? Understand what the Lord's will is. You know what the Lord's will is for your life? Very simple. God's will is for you to walk in His Spirit and not the idolatry of this world. The wisest thing you and I can do is submit to the Holy Spirit every day. Period. And a lot of the times, our submission to the Spirit, it's going to draw us to spend time in the Word and in prayer. And right now, I want to give you a chance to respond. We're not going to have any music. We're not going to have anybody come up here and lead. But I am going to give you a chance to respond before we go into small groups. If you were to honestly evaluate the breakdown of your day, every single one of you, your day, how much of it is spent worshiping Him? How much of it is spent listening to the Holy Spirit, tuning your heart to the Holy Spirit? How much of it is spent encouraging others? How much of it is making music with your heart to the Lord? And then that last part, I love verse 21, says submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Like how much submission is there in you? To be able to humble yourself and put yourself under other believers in honor of them. How much of your day is spent looking like that? I know for a fact, there are some of you in here right now that have not been making the most of your time. You've not been using that, the time that God has given you to His glory. You've not been making the most of it. I know some of you in here right now that have been laughing the whole service and talking to that person next to you, most likely, that are walking in the evil of the world. If you don't care to come and sit in here for 20 minutes and listen to somebody give you the Word of God, yeah, you're never going to be in the Word. You're never going to spend time in prayer. Your worship reflects that. You come in here in your stale face, can't even sing words off a screen. I know some of you are walking in the world, the evil of the world. You've not been paying attention. You've not been paying attention to how God has called you to walk. And I want to do this. I want to give you a chance to repent of that. Not have some emotional, cutesy moment or whatever. I want to give you a chance to repent of that. To humble yourself before the Lord. Admit that you've really been messing it up. Whether it's at your seat, whether you want to come down here. I want to give you a chance to respond to how the Holy Spirit is leading you. And hear me out real quick before you start packing up, so don't pack up yet. I'm talking to you, Christ follower. I'm not talking to the unbeliever. If you want to know what it means to follow Jesus, we'd love to talk with you. I'm talking to the Christ follower. If you'd be willing to say, you know what, I've backslid in my walk. I once know Jesus. You know, I was kind of on fire a little bit, maybe at that camp or that D now. And now life is completely different. You know why? You've stopped letting the Holy Spirit lead you. You submitted to His call in a cool moment at a camp, and you just let it go. And if that's where you're at, I would ask you to repent of that. To say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry I've not been letting Your Spirit fill me and lead me and guide me. Some of you need to submit to the Spirit's call upon your life to share the gospel with a friend. And you've not been doing that because you've been scared. You know that friend that just came in your head right now. You know that coworker, that family member that is lost. You know that person that claims the name of Christ but they're living in sin. And God's calling you to share the gospel with them. Not this like, hey, Jesus loves you, thank you. The gospel is like, hey, if you don't repent of your sin, like you're going to spend eternity away from Christ. And like, I want to show you what that looks like. I want to walk alongside of you and show you that. I want to disciple you through that. Some of you need to submit to the Spirit's call upon your life to just simply get in the Word before you go to school. And some of you, the Holy Spirit has never spoken to you ever before. You've never heard His voice. But tonight, maybe you do. Maybe you hear Him saying, why don't you just give your life to me? And you need to do that. You need to talk with somebody about that. You need to talk with your small group leader. You need to talk with an adult or an older believer in this room. This is my last thing and then we'll be done. But the interesting thing about this passage, what Paul says when he says be filled by the Spirit, you know what that is? That's a suggestion. No, that's a command. Paul's saying every single one of you that's a Christ follower, every single one of you that would say, hey, I follow Jesus, woo! He's saying if you claim that, you are to submit to His Holy Spirit. You are to let His Spirit fill you. And if you would say, I'm not doing that, you are walking in sin. James says when you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, for him, guess what it is? Sin. And if you would say, man, I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit, I claim Christ, don't hear his voice, my heart's hardened, I like the ways of this world a little bit better, but I need to get right and I need to listen to him, I would invite you to repent of that tonight. So I'm going to give you guys just a couple minutes, and by a couple minutes, I mean a couple seconds, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to go to small groups. And honestly, I'm praying that small groups will be better than your time responding right now. So y'all spend the next couple of seconds. If you don't care to respond, if you just want to chat with your friend for the respect of others in the room, please don't make a sound. So y'all spend a couple seconds responding, then I'll pray.